We are Rogue Media Sports.
Having a team feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Hey, it's Mark Goodman.
And I'm Alan Light.
On today's podcast, Record Store Day founder Carrie Colleton is joining us to discuss the April 20th RSD special releases.
Plus, we'll talk live with our audience, the Sound Up Pod Squad, and find out who still listens to vinyl. And some updates from the Beatles universe.
Oh, good. Sound Up with Mark Goodman and Alan Light, the only music podcast that matters. Get it on Pandora, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Doomsday Podcast, and we're taping just in the aftermath of Cowboys 30-10 victory over the Jets. It's Mosley. It's Werder. Ed's been here since 8 this morning and just doing all
getting
sorts
cranky.
Of – he's just starting to get cranky. I hope you enjoy this video.
Cranky about 6 hours ago.
He's actually loving the video. And we can see we are in a beautiful suite.
It is lovely.
On the silver level. And thank you to the Nation family for that. We can see the field. If you hear some things, it's just folks are cleaning up around us. But beautiful area. And Ed, another, as you like to say, historic. There's always some
resounding
30-10 win. And the Cowboys roll on and improve to 2-0. And we'll have some Jerry Jones. But, you know, Jerry, I mean, I think he's just excited as he can be because this team is looking dominant. And it was another dominant defensive performance. And the thing is, Ed, when you have a compromised team, and obviously everybody had been excited about seeing Aaron Rodgers in this game, but they saw Zach Wilson. What do? You got to turn the lights out on them. And quite honestly, they were never really in this game. Yeah. And so Cowboys did what they needed to. And by the way, I thought I liked it when they had a chance to go for two down there, take the ball at the one, go ahead and go up 18-10. And from there, it was all academic.
Well, the Cowboys have had five Super Bowl winning teams, and yet none of those teams have dominated their first two opponents like this Cowboys team has, which has beaten the Giants and the Jets, New York, New York. They Sinatra'd these two teams by a combined score of 70-10. This is the second time in franchise history and the first time in the last 55 years that a Dallas team has outscored its first two opponents by 60 or more points. And, you know, we're going to get into the details about I thought Mike McCarthy really did something smart. And it was an unusual strategy. I'm not saying it was unusual for him to be smart, but it was unusual for him to use the strategy that he did to open the game today. And there was a lot of logic behind it, but the defense is spectacular. It is a spectacular force. They have recorded 10 sacks already, 7 takeaways. You know, they've led the NFL in sacks and takeaways since Dan Quinn became the defensive coordinator, and they drafted Micah Parsons to rush the passer. They've done it the last 2 years. Pittsburgh's the last team to do it the last 2 years, or to do it 2 years in a row. They did it 3 years in a row during their Steel Curtain Super Bowl era. The Cowboys are on pace to match that, and I can tell you from talking to players in the locker room, you probably heard it yourself, but from guys like Jayron Kearse and Micah Parsons, that's all they think about is being at that level and believing that is going to pay off in a Super Bowl.
Boy, Ed really looks good. I've got a great angle on him for people that want to watch us on video right now. And Ed, I think it is, and we did just come from the locker room, and I saw Osa Odigizuwa. I did talk to Micah on his way out. I think you visited with Micah briefly yourself, and then we both went to visit with Dak a little bit, who, by the way, we'll talk about this, really is kind of tired of any frame of reference. Interception questions from last year.
And justifiably so.
And it came up again, and he kind of shut that line of questioning down. They are now 2-0, and he has not thrown an interception. And
they don't have a turnover, right, on offense? They don't have a turnover.
They've
fumbled it. Tyler Biadasz has been great at recovering fumbles. He may lead the league in recovered fumbles with two, one in each game. I don't think they have a turnover.
That's one of the things they've worked with Biadasz. He's supposed to always be on the lookout.
Darrell Johnston used to joke about that when he was a fullback with the Cowboys, you know, early in his career. He used to say, the only time they let me touch the ball around here is on fumble recoveries. Kind of. Biadasz is good in that role, too, turns out.
Oh, Syracuse.
Should we play
own.
The music yet?
Frito, please play the music. And there it is, as we come to you from AT&T Stadium, just a couple of hours or an hour or so after the Cowboys 30-10 victory. And I always kind of like it, Ed, when we're recording this and we think about our theme song, and then people on Twitter are like, hey, guys, where's that song? What is that song? And it's Ronnie Foss, who's a great friend of mine from Baylor, and he's a singer-songwriter, who also happened to be the CFO for the Dallas Mavericks in his day job. So does a great job. We love having him be a part of the show. And Ed, let's start with where you started, the defense, because there's some notes I've taken. I put them on your laptop, your iPad.
These are your notes.
Yeah, I sent you a bunch of notes on that. But early on, Cowboys set the tone. And it's something we'll talk to Stretch about a little bit later. But like, DeMarcus, when Breece Hall, very early in the game, might have been the Jets' first possession, meets him 3 yards deep, and Breece Hall didn't have much the rest of the game. And in fact, after the game, questioned the game plan and the fact that they got away from the run.
Well, I had a chance as part of my preparation for covering the game for ESPN to talk to Robert Saleh, the head coach of the Jets, and some of the other people in the organization. And obviously, a difficult situation for them. I mean, they're grieving the loss of Aaron Rodgers, who they were willing to give up a conditional first round pick to get, pay him $75 million guaranteed, so that Zach Wilson didn't have to be in the role that he was today and start the football game. And then, they're getting over losing him after three plays, and then they throw the tape on and they see they got to play Dallas at Dallas next on a short week. And so, you know, they recognize Zach Wilson's weaknesses, and they knew coming into this game that if they couldn't protect Zach Wilson, they were not going to be competitive in the game. And, you know, he came into the game holding on to the ball the longest of all the week one starting quarter or all the week one quarterbacks who qualified based on attempts. They had the worst pass rush block win rate in the league, and the Cowboys came into the game leading the NFL in sacks and pressures. And so it was a terrible matchup for the Jets. And I alluded to what Mike McCarthy did that I thought was smart. And that the Jets knew they had to play around the quarterback. They knew they had to run the ball. And what we're just talking about it, Breece Hall and Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook combined for like 15 yards rushing. And the thing that I thought Mike McCarthy did that was wise, and it was part of his game plan, talked about it after the game today, was when they won the coin toss, they usually defer because he's big about trying to get the ball at the end of the half and score and then get it to start the second half, get the double-double, they call it, the Whataburger double-double. But he forfeited that chance today because he took the ball first. They almost never do that. And the reason he did it was psychological in that, hey, you think you have a great defense, New York Jets? You think you're impenetrable? You think you can shut us down? We're going to take it and run it right down your throat. And that's what they did. And they scored a touchdown on the very first series. And what happened as a result of that? Zach Wilson in this game never touched the ball where he wasn't behind in the game on the scoreboard. Mm-hmm. And so they made him play with that mindset, with a deficit. He was always trying to overcome. And the deficit ultimately just got worse and worse with every possession.
They hit one huge play.
Yeah.
They got back in. They got it to 10-7, and they had just that one moment where they felt like they were in the game. Cowboys came back and made it like 18-7.
Yeah. They almost did take the lead because Dak double clutched the ball and almost got picked off by Sauce Gardner.
Correct.
For a pick six right in front of the Jets bench. He dropped the ball, And the Cowboys went and I think kicked a field goal out of that drive, but that was a 10-point swing in the game when he didn't catch that ball. And it would have given the Jets a lead because they had just scored on the play you described, Garrett Wilson getting inside Stephon Gilmore and Malik Hooker taking a bad angle and missing the tackle, and he went 68 yards. Zach Wilson scored a touchdown.
Part of how you don't lead the league in interceptions for a second consecutive year is have some people drop those. That helps. And Dak's point, and you've made this point for him. It's funny to hear him make the point. But when
he didn't think of it until he heard me say it.
Our colleague and friend Todd Archer asked him about, hey, no interceptions, and sort of alluded to the past season. What did Dak kind of challenge him and said, well, how many did I have the year before that? How many did I have the year before that? And that is a Werder type point in the fact that last year was an aberration.
Yeah.
Kind of came out of nowhere. It's what the national reporters and some, I guess you are one of those, but you also have a local angle because you live here and you cover the Cowboys a lot. You know, they don't always have the perspective or bring the perspective. It's like these national debate shows, like, oh my gosh, he's now,
here's his number. His number's 15. Yes. That led the NFL.
Yes.
We don't care how they, if they caromed off five different receivers or the circumstances of any of the interceptions, they just all belong to him. They're all his. It's all his fault. And he throws a lot of interceptions. He led them.
Yeah. Yes. And it really hadn't been who he was so far, so good this season. I think what the point he tried to make today after the game was, I think it offends him a little bit of any kind of game manager type talk, right? And so I think today he wanted to kind of make the point, I'm still going to let it rip. I'm still going to try to fit it into some tight windows. But what the Cowboys want is to match his, they've talked about it, matching his feet. I mean, you talked about this with Schottenheimer when we were out at training camp and you had the one-on-one with Schottenheimer. It's like this West Coast offense hopefully is going to be or Texas Coast is going to be a tremendous fit for him because they're just giving him more options and they're getting his footwork the way it needs to be. That was something Romo picked up on today in that. And I don't know, maybe Romo was tipped off on that, obviously, but the ball's going to go where the feet are. And again, so far, so good. And I just think he and CD are in a great place right now. Although CD was mad at him on one of those throws, he overshot that Hendershot. He was trying to he overshot in the corner of the end zone.
I thought it was Ferguson on a third down play.
It might have been. It was Ferguson.
Yeah, he tried to hit him. Yeah,
and CD felt like he was open.
Yeah,
and he was kind of wide open.
Well, the great thing about, you know, CeeDee Lamb, I think, had 11 catches for like 143 yards.
On like 12 targets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the great thing about him, and this is what McCarthy has always emphasized with his receivers, is he wants them to know all the different positions so that they can create favorable matchups for him. Like, they knew where Sauce Gardner was going to be today. He only plays, you know, on one side of the field. He doesn't flip. He doesn't travel with a receiver. He doesn't play the slot. So anytime you want to put him in the slot, you're not going to have him covered by their number one corner. And so they took advantage of that. He had 11 catches and basically, hey, let Sauce Gardner go shut down, you know, Michael Gallup. That's fine with us. We're going to throw the ball around the yard with our best receiver against your second or third best corner.
Yes.
I think they were a little surprised the Jets didn't double him more than they did. But I like seeing, you know, the slants and the bunch routes and all the stuff that they haven't used, you know, in the Jason Garrett era of offensive football that they've used until now. And I think it's benefited Dak. I think he's had easier throws. I think he gets it out quicker. I know after week one, he had the quickest release in the league. Talked about Zach Wilson having the slowest. He had the quickest. Game manager, I mean, I think if you told him he'd win a Super Bowl if he just does his part,
I
think he'd take that. I mean, he did it his rookie year. The whole thing was built around the defense and built around the running game with the offensive line and Zeke leading the league in rushing. And they won 13 games. So I think Dak is fine with that. And I give McCarthy credit for, you know, while he's the play caller, he really does recognize from a team standpoint, my defense is great. You know, when I won my Super Bowl in Green Bay, I had a top five defense. This is the best defense I've had since then. Maybe this defense is better than that. Mm-hmm. He's had great defenses the last 2 years. They've really underachieved, even though they've won 12 games each of the last 2 years. They've gotten eliminated in the postseason after a single win. So that can't happen this year. They've got to cash this opportunity in before this team gets broken up. And it's going to get broken up after Micah Parsons gets paid.
Well, he's going to get paid in a huge way. They have other folks to pay. I think they'll try to show Dak when he gets his new deal. They're going to show him like Burrow's deal, because as huge of a deal as it was, there were some things that kept the salary cap hit down to a certain extent, and that's by doing it over a longer period of time. Dak did not want a long period of time on his last deal. Perhaps at age 30 now, maybe they can get him to consider a 5 or 6 year type deal instead of the 4 year deal he wanted and got last time. But there's a lot to be said on that front. Now, Ed, one of the things about the play calling, since we're there right now, is I love that. And Mike's doing a good job. You gotta hand it to him how he's kind of mixing things up. But
although he did say he did a lousy job in red zone. He blamed himself for their red zone.
Good for him for saying
today.
That. Yeah, 2 for 5 in the red zone. And so that was one. They had to keep kicking field goals. The thing I liked, let me tell you a couple of things I like. Okay. I want to hear what you think. Like a Deuce Vaughn drive. I mean, they got down there and were like, okay, this is Deuce. I mean, they were handing it inside, outside, throwing the ball to him. It's like, this is our Deuce package. And on this particular drive, and it worked. I mean, he was very effective. Then there was like a Turpin type drive. Like, okay, this is our Turpin thing. We're going to do some Turpin. So in the past, they'll like, okay, we're going to do like a jet sweep to somebody, and they never come back to it, or it never works. And in this sense, they kind of took some, whatever you want to call it, gadget. They kind of stuck with it instead of like, oh, let's try this. And then, of course, Pollard was an enormous part of the game plan.
24 touches. Yeah,
even to the point that Jerry kept bringing it up, that it was a little much at the end of the game for him still to be getting carries. And Jerry and I kind of joked with him. I said, Jerry, this is the third time you've brought this up. Of course, we've been there for like 28 minutes. And he said, I got to be critical about something.
I think if I was going to be critical about anything, it would be the red zone failures. You have to take full advantage of those opportunities at a much higher level than they did in this game today. But I'm going to give them I'm going to understand the fact that they were going up against a really good defense, one that was particularly good interior defensive line. And, you know, hey, maybe they missed Ezekiel Elliott around the goal line and on short yardage a little bit. He was a very physical runner. I'm not sure they really have that right now. And we'll see Zeke. They're the next team to come in here in 2 weeks. But they also were down to their, you know, third left guard. And so you've got a guy in TJ Bass at left guard. You know, Tyler Smith didn't play, hasn't played yet this season. Chuma Edoga then started. He went out in the second quarter. So you've got an undrafted rookie free agent in TJ Bass lining up against Quinnen Williams, the second highest paid defensive tackle in the NFL behind Aaron Donald. And maybe that's part of the reason that you can't punch it in close. And then Zach Martin didn't finish the game either. So I think next week they might be the first time they get their 5 best offensive linemen at their best positions since they put this group together. Because Tyron Smith missed so much time, you know, year before, then came back and played right tackle because Terrence Steele was out. So, yeah. And to your other point that you just made about the packages and the gimmicks, yeah, I agree. You know, Kevontae Turpin, you know, he came in last year. He'd had a full USFL season, came in late in camp. So Kellen Moore, did he ever really develop a confidence in him or a real role for him? No, he didn't. He did what you said.
Special teams guy.
It was kind of, you know, hey, around the goal line, we'll try and beat him with a jet sweep or whatever. We use him as a decoy. I think he has a real presence in the offense now. He has a real regular role. And McCarthy made a point of that this offseason, of creating that for him and getting his speed in the offense. And I think he's doing the same thing with Deuce Vaughn. He's a unique player. He's a game breaker. He can score. They learned last year against the 49ers, who play the same defensive scheme that they just went against today with the Jets, because Robert Saleh was a defensive coordinator of the 49ers before he went to the Jets. So they got to test themselves against the scheme that's really given them trouble in the playoffs the last 2 years. And what happened to them last year in the playoffs against the 49ers, beyond Dak's 2 interceptions, was they didn't have any playmakers. They had 2 guys when they went to the game. They had CeeDee Lamb and Tony Pollard. And Pollard lasted half the game and got hurt, and that was it. And so now they, Mike knew they had to come up with a way to get more people involved, get more speed on the field, and create explosive plays. The game's all about explosive plays.
Yeah, I think that's right. And it was really, I think they called it well. You're right. There was one dangerous play that could have really put them in a bad situation. Sauce didn't make the play. And the Cowboys kind of went from there. Could they have blown them out more easily? I mean, you know, you could argue that the score should have been, you know, 42-10. They just had to kick all those field goals. But speaking of the field goals, that's been an issue in past seasons. In fact, the team they were playing have had a former Cowboys kicker on it. He wasn't ready to go for this game. Zerline. But Aubrey, who another USFL guy who didn't really have a college kicking background, who had more of a soccer background, really looks good. And from 55 yards, it looked like very easy for him. And yeah, it looked like it would have been good from 60 to 65.
Seems like he has the leg talent to succeed in the league. The thing we haven't seen him do yet is we haven't seen him kick under pressure. We haven't seen him kick with a game on the line. And that's going to happen at some point in all likelihood, maybe multiple times this year. So how does he perform in that situation will determine his future in the league. But yeah, I mean, he's kicked off great. I think almost everything is a touchback. And, you know, the Jets benefited in that phase of the game. Last week, the Cowboys and the Jets were the only teams to score special teams touchdown. The Jets were no factor in the special teams today. And yeah, Aubrey finally got tested in terms of distance, kicking a long field goal from 55 yards. Seems to have plenty of leg, but we'll see what happens when he's got to make one to win a game.
All right. I did want to say, Ed, Marable Homes, been one of our great sponsors. And I just continue to see these gorgeous homes as I stare into the camera here. We are live from AT&T. Stadium just a couple hours after the game. Ed's done all his live shots, and now we are huddled here together doing our thing. But boy, Marable Homes, Marable, and Blake Marable, tremendous job. And what we're going to be doing, since we're doing so much video these days, is showing you some of the homes in coming weeks, and we're going to talk about it. Also doing gorgeous homes on lakefront properties. People are loving lake houses. People like Ed that love having second homes. He'll build you one down on Cedar Creek. He'll do one on Richland Chambers. And then in addition to Lake Highlands, so luxury homes can go in a lot of different places. In fact, out by wherever Tour 18 or wherever you live, there are some enormous homes out there and gorgeous homes. And
mine is not one of those.
He'll be, yeah, but you got a nice one.
Trying to talk me into an upgrade.
More of a ranch style home.
No, it's a two-story.
Kind of a two-story, but still. But
it's got built with Dave Smith money at the Dallas Morning News, though, so it's modest.
But you guys.
Which is what I. Yeah. I think we'll all agree.
I don't.
Anyway, yeah. Back to the Marable Homes.
But Marable Homes, we appreciate them, love them being part of the Doomsday podcast. And I did also want to say Hudson Financial Group. As a few years ago, they were with us and they've just said, you know what? We love the podcast. Can we come back? And I was like, absolutely. Absolutely. So Hudson Financial, you'll be hearing more about Hudson Financial Group in the coming weeks. And even some, Ed, you know how Baptist I am. I get a little scared of like alcohol.
I think I know more how Baptist you are than your parents know how Baptist you are.
Yeah. But, there is a company in that regard that wants to be a part of it. I'm still praying about it and see if, but they're wanting to, come in aside us, but, beside us, but that, I wanted to mention that. And then Ed, we got, you and I have more to talk about, but let's right now, I think it would be a good time to hear from one of the harshest graders in all the NFL, former Cowboys, scout and coach, Glenn Stretch Smith. It is time for Stretch Plays.
Stretch, I want to start tonight with on the defensive side, because this, up and down the line at every, they got the takeaways. Certainly the pass rush was good. And what they did in this game is kind of, you know, pretty early on, kind of remove much hope for a Jets team that's obviously still reeling from losing Aaron Rodgers. People love to hear your grades, but let's start with just kind of the overall, your take on the how they kind of set the tone on defense against the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, you see the first play from line of scrimmage, big play putting Micah Parsons heavy down inside, which obviously that moves the right defensive end farther outside, which was DeMarcus Lawrence. So say instead of him being a five technique where he would normally be outside eye of the tackle, he moves out outside eye of the tight end. Hey, they try to run an outside zone, and I'm talking about Lawrence just butts the tight end in the mouth and knocks him about 4 yards back in the backfield. They make the play for a 3 yard loss. I think it set the tone for the entire football game, as if to say, you know what, we're here, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to butt you in the mouth, and this is going to be an all-day deal. And I think it's now all of a sudden it's an attitude to the defense. It's a defensive mentality like we talked about last week, where they're rolling defensive linemen in, and they are getting after the quarterback and making all play every position. That's what's awesome. And I, you know, we talked about Parsons, and he gets talked about so much. What I love about it is he doesn't have to be 285 pounds to go down and play inside. If you want to run the football against him, he understands how to play with leverage. He understands where his help's coming from. He understands how to wrong shoulder things, how to spill the football to bounce outside. It really is. I mean, if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, and I get it, the league's built on offense, and they want offensive plays and big man routes being thrown and double moves here and double moves. I bet a defense that just gets right in the red part of your rear end and just whips your ass all night. How do you like that? Because that's exactly what they've done.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, my 16-year-old is getting mad at me for using that kind of language. But, I mean, when you get whipped, I don't know how to say it other than your ass. I mean, I'm not going to say bottom or Bobo. I'm too damn old for that. They got their ass whipped. And yeah, that's exactly what they got in. And you see a defense, to me, yeah, they hit the slant on, you know, they hit the slant on Stephon because Hooker really kind of took a bad angle to get in there. Think about it. This team's had 150-something snaps on defense and maybe had two bad angles taken. Holy cow. I mean, we got a lot to look forward to defensively. Yeah. With what this group has done, and I mean, I'm telling you, you know, Vander Esch and how he's playing. You see Bell inside, how he's playing, the defensive line, secondary, making picks. I mean, how do you get any better than that?
Whoa. And I totally agree. You have reached an age where Bobo is probably not available to you, although Bobo China over in Lake Highlands, not a bad place to go get some pretty good orange chicken. All right, we'll continue here with stretch plays. And I did just see Micah moments before we started taping stretch. And I just told him, you know, I didn't even try to grab him for an interview. I said, hey, boy, that was something out there. And he had one of those old school Cowboys jackets, like from the 1970s, that he slipped on, and he went out into the night, and it was good to see old Micah. And I like that little thing he does where he kind of, after a fast sack, he'll kind of stay down on the ground in like a bear, what do we call those things? Bear crawl type deal. And I kind of like the celebration that he does. He'll kind of stay down there and do a little bear crawl, which we had to do back in junior high in Kauffman. Now, Fresh, you AAAA, let me take you back though to those safeties in the corners. Curse had a great interception and return. Micah had the strip. I mean, that was really fun to watch him just grab that thing. And of course, we've seen him do that before and go racing up the field. They obviously marked him down there because the guy touched him. But it's an opportunistic defense. And other than what you're talking about, the one bad angle, then they did have the quarterback had one run. He kind of gashed him on at one point. But they just seem like the secondary all across the board. I mean, you know, they don't even have Jordan Lewis right now, and Bland has stepped into his role. I mean, they're doing this without some pretty decent players, Donovan Wilson and others that are coming back soon. And I just think it's showing that the depth on this team seems to be, I don't want to overdo it, but I feel like the depth's better than any time in the last 5 to 10 years. Am I overdoing that?
No, I think you're exactly right. I mean, I think that this team has, they've got the ability to run different guys in the game. They've got confidence to run those guys in the game. I don't see that much of a drop off when you think about where they're at in the secondary, as far as whether it's going to be Curse or Hooker or Cedric. I mean, I still see so much of this defense is really, it's about, and playing defense is about an attitude. I mean, you kind of got to have that swagger. You got to have that attitude of, you know what, we're here and we're going to butt you in the mouth all day. And you know what, it becomes one of those situations, and I've always felt this way in football. You're either the hammer or you're the nail. Well, hell, in two games, Dallas defense has been the hammer every play. They ain't taking no licks. They're delivering the licks. And I think that you know, the whole mentality of that, and then it doesn't it feel like it kind of breeds throughout the building, and it kind of breeds with the offense, because, you know, all of a sudden offensively, you know, you see the offensive line rolling guys in there. And so I just think that, you know, what you're seeing is a team that is well-built, and I'm saying well-built from a scouting standpoint. They were put together, and they went out, identified what they needed in a corner, went out and signed Stephon and said, hey, now we got what we need. In the very first play of the game, that's what I'm talking about. They're lined up in one free coverage. Most teams would love to see, offenses would love to see one free, because guess what? Now we got a chance to go deep and hit you with something early. And I mean, I don't think Dallas has any fears of playing that coverage anymore. And it mm-hmm. really does. It reminds me of the days. I mean, you know, when we had Deion and Kevin Smith, and we had guys, you know, and guys on the back end and Woodson that could really cover it. I'm not in any way saying, hey, look out for the 95 Cowboys coming in here, but I am saying this, you're going to have a chance every week right now just with how they're playing on the defensive side of the football. Never mind the other two phases of the game. Defensively, you're going to have a chance every single week to win the football game.
All right. Stretch, usually one of the harshest graders, but has just passed out a bunch of A's on defense. As I tape this with Stretch, I look down over the field. We're in a beautiful suite up on the silver level, thanks to the Nation family, Jim and Sally Nation, great benefactors of the Doomsday podcast. And Jim's just a great friend. And I can see Ed Werder down there trying to tape a feature for tomorrow's ESPN. He looks like he's a little disgruntled at something, which should not be shocking, Stretch, to you, as Ed is waiting for script approval and he's trying to finish taping something that'll run tomorrow's Sports Center. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, you know, obviously Dak, extremely accurate. Let's start with the quarterback. Always love talking about the quarterback. You do a good job of talking about him. He didn't like throw for a ton of yards. I do think his connection with CeeDee Lamb, tremendous today. I thought he had some nice balls to Tolbert as well. And then he started finding his tight ends, especially down there around the goal line. Stretch, the only thing, if you were going to find one thing to be critical about, we would just say the red zone wasn't great, right? They had to settle for quite a few field goals down there in the red zone, end up about 2 for 5 in the red zone. But just quarterback play, there was almost a pick six, but where do you go there?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to say. I mean, you look out there and you see that. You see a guy sitting on that route. I mean, Sauce Gardner was sitting right there. You can't throw that ball. That's the thing that really concerns me still about him. You cannot throw that football in that situation. And he has got to learn from that. And I'm saying that because the defense you have, you want to always play with a tilted feel from a special team standpoint, which means it's okay to punt the football some. It is all right. You do not have to fit the ball in those windows. And so that scared me a little bit. But I do think the offense fits him pretty good. And I'm talking about the West Coast, where they've always got some sort of a shallow dig, a swing. There's some sort of a shallow route coming, and he can get the ball out of his hand, obviously, you know, with those 5 yard, and sometimes they turn into 7, 8, 9, 10 yard gains. And so I think he, being Dak, you know, it looks like 2 weeks into the season, he likes that. He likes the feel of being able to get that ball out of his hand and knowing he's got somebody coming on an underneath route or shallow route from somewhere. So, hey, I can get this ball out of my hand and still be fine. You know, he missed the seam throw to Tolbert, which bothered me some. He underthrew it. Now they got the PI on the play, which, you know, set him up down there with first and, you know, from the 1 yard line, but first and goal from the one. I guess, you know, Dak, again, just manage the football game right now. We don't need you to be some sort of world beater. Just manage a football game. And I hope that he learns from that almost pick to Sauce Gardner, because those are the kind of things when you get in tight football games, you can't let that ball go. You know, but again, I thought, you know, he just played okay. I thought the offensive line did some really good things. I mean, I think Bass in there at guard, you see, you know, he's a strong physical guy. He gives you a little something. I thought the tight ends did an okay job. Again, Ferguson looks like he's becoming more comfortable in the role that he's in. And, you know, a great job from the wide receivers. I think they catch the ball well. Obviously, CD is a heck of a football player. Tolbert's good. I think Cooks was a little dinged. So, you know, we didn't see much from him. And I think Gallup is continuing to gain, you know, he's continuing to gain some confidence, I think, when he was kind of rushed back a little early and maybe shouldn't have been out there a year ago. So, you know, really offensively, I thought just, you know, kind of a workmanlike effort. I gave them, you know, I gave everybody kind of offensively a B across the board. I didn't see anything that I thought was just, you know, just above and beyond. Wow. That was a wow. What I will say is I do like what McCarthy's doing with the personnel. I like that he's, you know, he's using all of his personnel. He's using Turpin. He's using Dowdle. He's using Deuce Vaughn. And he's using them in areas that I think, you know, at the time the team needs. I mean, which is, you know, for instance, Deuce Vaughn kind of getting on the edge and getting the toss, getting the outside zone, kind of being able to bounce that ball outside and then run some of those swing routes and getting him one-on-one with a linebacker. I think that's only going to help the Cowboys offense as they move forward, being able to think about how you're going to scheme the Cowboys because they do have so many weapons. So I did think that was, you know, that was good. I think the signing of this kicker out of the USFL has been really a nice find. He looks to be settling down and more comfortable to me today, you know, kicking the football, hitting the football, really it looked like with some confidence. So, I mean, you know, again, it's the scouting department that went out there and you know, I do know because I coach in the USFL. I saw Fossil when we played the Birmingham team, and that's where the kicker had played, was with Birmingham, because obviously he had a connection with Skip Holtz. Anyway, long and short of it, I do like what the Cowboys are doing offensively, special teams wise. Nice job, good job. Offensively, and I really hope that we can continue to see this team, and I'm talking about offensively, continue to open that playbook a little bit and get, you know, get a certain level of comfort for the quarterback, because I still think that quarterback needs work, and I think he's going to continue to need to feel that ability to get that ball out of his hand in those situations, especially in the red zone.
Yeah, I think that's all going to be important. You know, the special teams, you obviously Bones Fossil has done some nice things. They did give up the fake punt, you know, fairly early in the game. Jets were trying to get a little momentum. It didn't really lead to anything. I guess that was one thing you could knock them on. Bones was very excited about the 55-yard field goal. And you're right, Aubrey from the USFL, and a guy that doesn't have a college background kicking, but seemingly has been pretty steady to this point through two games. So Jerry was happy. Stretch, you seem pretty happy. B's all across the board on offense, A's on defense, and I think that is good stuff. I think you should take some of that as you prepare tonight. WFAA, of course, on that sports special with Joe Trahan. That'll happen at 10:30 each Sunday evening. You can find Stretch on there. He usually has a really nice sport coat on, and he's a big man. Looks good in HD. Stretch, I appreciate it. Safe travels, and look forward to visiting with you next week after the Cowboys trying to get to 3-0.
Oh, it's always good being on and telling, you know, make sure and tell Frito sorry to bother him tonight. Didn't mean to bother him. Have a good night.
We'll let him know. Frito, one of Stretch's biggest fans, and of course, Ed and I always love hearing from all our people on Twitter, all their support of saying, hey, we like that guy, and that's always a really fun thing. That is Stretch Plays on the Doomsday Podcast.
All right, there it is. Some Stretch Plays, and man, a lot of good stuff tonight. Cowboys rolling. Ed, as you kind of look at the schedule, you're a man to look down the road and go, okay, Arizona. What all do we have coming up? A lot of this is because Ed needs to get his travel schedule together. But I mean, this is a team that could get on a roll. It was kind of shocking to see the Giants down big early today, bounce back with a 31-28 victory to get to 1-1. Cowboys, Commanders actually get a win today. And then the Eagles continue to do their thing. Ed, as we kind of think forward about this this team, I mean, I don't see any reason why they couldn't kind of get hot and try to kind of jump out there. And of course, we'll be kind of waiting for that first big matchup with the Eagles. We'll always point to that.
And they've got a game with the 49ers.
Correct.
A Monday night game with the 49ers. Sunday night game with
correct.
The
49ers. They've been a thorn in their side, I'm told.
Yeah, they've ended their season earlier than the Cowboys had expected the last 2 years. But they go to Arizona. No Kyler Murray. He's still not back from the torn ACL injury. So they get Josh Dobbs. Career a journeyman that they played in Tennessee last year in a Thursday night game, I think after Thanksgiving. So December, they're familiar with him. They'll have tape on him. Jonathan Gannon, the first-year head coach at Arizona, says they're still evaluating the seriousness of a hamstring injury that their best player, safety Buda Baker, suffered. He doesn't know if defensive lineman LJ Collier will be back from IR with his biceps injury. And then they lost another defensive lineman, Carlos Watkins, who I believe is familiar to Cowboys fans. I believe he's been here before, Carlos Watkins.
Yeah, he has. I feel like he was with the Bengals as well.
But they're playing a team that most people think is basically tanking the season to get a quarterback like Caleb Williams in the next draft. So,
Or Shedeur Sanders.
Shedeur Sanders, if they pray on it.
Do you believe, Ed? Surely by now. After that 98-yard drive, it's time for Edward.
Even old John Elway on poor Colorado State last night. Elway's famous 98-yard drive in
the
AFC Championship game. Day he became a legend. I was there. I was on the field. So maybe people ask me all the time, what's the greatest moment or greatest thing in sports you covered? And although I've covered a lot of Super Bowls, I generally pick that game. Stands out as a day John Elway became a legend and led the Broncos and me to my first Super Bowl. first time I ever covered a Super Bowl.
So yeah, and about that time, you were covering some right around then, some great Bill McCartney Colorado teams. Yeah. Occasionally you would make the move over to Boulder and check in on them. And perhaps you wrote something even back then that Dion still remembers.
It's in my file.
Doubting the Buffalo.
The non-believers file. That's right. Where I am.
I want to end interviews the way he kind of does. I kind of like what he'll say something like, bless you or something, but not like a sneeze kind of thing, like a real, you know, bless you or something. It sounds kind of nice.
So sincere.
Well, I think he is kind of being sincere, but he was interviewed after the game the other night. I just kind of like how it went. Okay. Boy, Jerry, by the way, I asked him that tonight about Dion.
Being the Cowboys coach someday? Being an NFL coach.
He knew that, you know, it was more NFL coach, but he even joked. He said, you know where this is going to go if I start talking, how great he would be. But he knew it.
Jerry has figured it out.
He watched every single moment of that game last night.
His 80-year-old NFL owner stayed up until after midnight to watch his former player.
It was at least like 12:45. Yeah.
Remember all the commercials Jerry and he did together, the pizza commercials?
Yeah. Is that Papa John's or something?
I think it was.
There's one Jerry was doing a bunch of flips and breakdancing or something about it. Papa John's something. Papa went off.
He did the same thing
direction.
To avoid talking about replacing Mike McCarthy with Deion Sanders anytime soon, huh?
Right now they're
backpedaling.
Right now they're riding high, so they didn't want to get too much into that. Now, any more, Ed? You just have so many great notes over there. Is there anything you wanted to hit in terms of, and even right off the top of the podcast, you hit a couple of things I kind of liked, but just the first of all, Cowboys have come out. They continue. You know who I think the sack leader is, because he had another one today. Like, is Micah the sack leader or is Osa Odighizuwa? Because Osa had two in the first game. He had one today, so he's got three. Did Micah have two today? Yeah. So he's got three as well.
Micah had one, and he pulled the ball out of Dalvin Cook's hands and nearly scored a touchdown on defense with it.
Surely he had two, because I think he did have two, because he came in rolling early, then he had another one in the second half, and then he had the strip, which he almost took off. He's done that before. You remember that when he had the strip? So they're playing extremely well on defense right now, but I just feel like, Ed, there's something about this team, and here's what's different to Jerry, and I tried to kind of help set Jerry up in a sense. It's not like we were doing a show together, but I was kind of trying to, because I know what Jerry's thinking, and this is where he's starting to think back to those 90s teams, is that they can kind of come at you in waves, and these young players like number 30, Wanye, you know, he'll hit you. And then they'll come in with Bland in the slot. They don't even have Jordan Lewis right now. And they haven't, I mean, they're missing Donovan Wilson. I mean, they've been missing some pretty big parts of this team, and they're still rolling. And right. So I think that this may be the best defensive depth they've had
you asked if I had any other interesting notes, and I'll leave you with a couple
interesting
of these
nuggets.
The Cowboys have scored 70 points and allowed 10 through their first two games. They're the fifth team in the Super Bowl era to do that. The last being the 2019 Patriots, who outscored their opponents 76-3. They went, I told Micah Parsons the stat, and he said, did they win the Super Bowl that year? And I said, I don't think so. Let me check. And sure enough, they did not. They went 13-3, but they got eliminated in a wild card game by the Titans.
Yes.
The 1970 Lions outscored their first two opponents 78-3. I'm pretty sure they didn't win a Super Bowl. The 1967 Raiders outscored their opponents 86-7. And the 1966 Oilers outscored their opponents 76-7. So those are the kind of historic numbers the Cowboys have put up. You know, they scored 50 points before allowing a point to start a season. They're the first team to do that since the Chargers and the Bears in 2006. So we are seeing all kinds of things that have not happened in this league for a very long time. And as you know, Micah Parsons now has 10 career games with at least two full sacks. You're right. He did have two sacks. That's tied for the third most by any player before his 25th birthday since 1982, when sacks became official. The only other players to do it, Sean Merriman and Alden Smith. Sean Merriman, the player they almost drafted instead of the great DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah.
And Alden Smith, who played here.
Yes.
Briefly. So they generated pressure on 58% of Zach Wilson's dropbacks on Sunday, their second highest in a game since ESPN began tracking that figure. They've now pressured their first two opponents on 55% of their drops. That's the highest of any team through two games since 2009. So pretty remarkable stuff defensively yeah. this team is doing. Offensively, I mean, you know, like we talked about, I mean, McCarthy's had offenses that have, you know, been capable of throwing a score-a-thon out there every week. Dax had the number one scoring offense in football. I think they both recognize that the best way to approach this is playing into the strength of the defense. And they've so far succeeded wildly with it.
All right. And Jerry did recognize, I mean, he was kind of asked about Parsons and it, like, basically went as far, even though he's had Haley and Ware and some of these unbelievable players, to say in some regards, he's just never seen anything like this. And I think it's kind of what you were mentioning earlier. Actually, Stretch was talking about it. The versatility, nose tackle, end, mm-hmm. whatever. And it's just like
the stand up, drop.
Yeah. And he's the rare player that it's like the desire to win and this single focus on the Super Bowl. I mean, like, I don't know, at least in the era of the past, like 20 years, let's just say, post Aikman and all them, like, I don't know if they've had a defensive player who kind of talks like this. They've had great players.
And he's only in his third season.
Correct.
Like, you know, Jerry said something that seemed absurd, which he often does. It seemed absurd when in the moment that he said it, like it was early in Micah's career, but he said something that has proven to be very accurate and unique about Micah Parsons. He said he's got a little Muhammad Ali.
Wow.
And to that point, kind of what we said not long ago, how many times have you heard a young player like him say, you hear guys say, I want to be in the Hall of Fame when my career is. You never hear guys say, I don't want to just be in the Hall of Fame. Like, I want to be in the special room in the Hall of Fame. I want to be with the handful of greatest players ever, the Lawrence Taylors. You know, you don't hear guys say that, but he does. He does. And he does think that way. And he trains that way.
Yeah.
And he plays like with that in mind.
And you said something kind of interesting last week that our listeners picked up on, because I've seen it on Twitter. And it was that you thought maybe this version of the Cowboys were a little more physical. Sometimes you watch certain teams and you're like, dang. I mean, I watched Baltimore over the years or the Steelers, and you're just like, there's a level of physicality that feels
intimidating, a little
different here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Cowboys do that. And then they also do funny stuff, like Parsons gets there so fast, like even when he has an outside pass rush, he'll then loop around. He changes direction so fast and come up the middle to where his sack, he'll just kind of take the quarterback almost like a little kid or something by the waist and just kind of chunk him down. And poor Zach, who just kind of has that angelic, that kind of a youthful look about him with his little headband over there, but there's just some, he had a faraway look in his eye on the sideline.
Didn't we accuse you of looking like him at one point? Was it training camp? You came in with a little
headband? No, it was Herbert. Because I had kind of long hair.
Same idea.
And I had something holding my hair back.
Same idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a unique player. And yeah. He's changed the whole equation here. Like I said, since I hired Dan Quinn and drafted Micah Parsons, which was the same offseason, they've been the best defense in football, pressuring quarterbacks and taking the ball away from opponents.
All right. And I'll tell you one, we'll let people hear real quick, because Jerry went like 30 minutes tonight. That's too much. Okay. We sometimes play a lot of Jerry, and I think y'all enjoy that, but 30 minutes is way too much. So just the part we're going to play right now is Jerry talking about what kind of reminds him of those 90s Cowboys, because that is kind of interesting when Jerry starts doing that. And he even called himself on it, like, oh, I'm going to start doing this. But then he did it anyway. And he started bringing up the wonderful players of the past. Here is Jerry talking about that.
So, Jerry, you think the depth on this team is what stands out the most when you think about, you know, being 2-0? Is that what really, it sounds like that's what's really standing out to you about this team, maybe even reminding you of some great teams?
Yeah. What I'm seeing is young players getting emboldened by being around some veteran players, with people, a veteran being maybe a year or two more. I'm seeing guys that are right before our eyes getting better, which you do when you hang out around it. And a couple of some good things happen. All of a sudden, you're playing at a level, doing some things you otherwise wouldn't have. And I've seen that happen. I've had it happen to me before. And you just had no idea you could have some of the success or accomplish some of the things until you get it positively going. That's what this winning can do, and we could get to be a part of it. We had some great players when I first got in the NFL. Nate Newton, Tuane, Michael Irvin. We had a bunch of them, okay, that had been through some seasons when you were around covering them on the bases. No, seriously. And they got their own volition. They got better getting the Jeff coat. They got better being a part and being around some success. And we all have. And certainly you know that many things that that I'm have experienced, I didn't get here that way. I experienced it, got confidence, got better, tried them. We had some good things happen. Next thing you know, you had some success. Speaking of great, I think that's happening to our young players.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and it's time to wrap things up from AT&T Stadium. Ed, now an hour like 12 or 13 from here. Ed, this is your home away from home. We'll kind of get your travel schedule. I don't know if you've heard anything yet, but everybody awaits to see where Ed is. The problem is we want Ed to always be with the Cowboys. But they also, there are other big games in the NFL. Sometimes ESPN's like, well, the Cowboys are going to blow that team out. Let's have Ed over at a more competitive game. So we'll just have to wait and see where Ed ends up. Or we always love it if he like stays home. If we could somehow get him in studio, that would be great too. He rarely does that.
Maybe
during
put
the
a
season.
CEO appearance bonus in my contract.
Yeah. Yeah. This has been a fun studio in this suite, huh?
Yeah, we'll do this again in 2 weeks.
Jim Nation, Sally Nation, thank you so much. In fact, Ed, I don't know if I've ever said this before, the suite we're in, the Nation family, they're like big into like refrigeration and air conditioning and all. Like, so like basically the refrigeration and all that all is in AT&T Stadium, their company handled all of it. So, which is how you end up with a suite.
No small job.
Yeah, it's a pretty, they've done extremely well over the years. And so we're so appreciative of the Nation family. And their son and I were fraternity brothers at Baylor. Everything always goes back to Baylor. Baylor with a big victory this week over Long Island. The Long Island Sharks.
Football?
Yeah, the Long Island. Which was the alma mater I found out today from a guy who is one of the New York tabloids, covers the Jets. Tom Rock, who I've known for years. Okay. It is, it's Mosley, it's Werder, it's Frito Nation Productions, Mark Frito Friedman, our director, producer, and close friend. We're signing off from AT&T Stadium. Great to be with you, and we will see you next Sunday. Good night, everybody.
Having a teen feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Hey, it's Mark Goodman.
And I'm Alan Light.
On today's podcast, Record Store Day founder Carrie Colleton is joining us to discuss the April 20th RSD special releases.
Plus, we'll talk live with our audience, the Sound Up Pod Squad, and find out who still listens to vinyl. And some updates from the Beatles universe.
Oh, good. Sound Up with Mark Goodman and Alan Light, the only music podcast that matters. Get it on Pandora, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.